I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all know me, back where the girls all bow.
This is the North Carolina Theater Story Show. I'm your host, Lynn Pryor. James Johnson is our technical director. We're coming to you from a 100-year-old house, former home of the Gilbert Theater, here in historic Haymont in Fayetteville, North Carolina. This is show number 2. We're continuing our series of interviews with regional artistic directors. Today's guest is Jeremy Fiebig, artistic director of Sweet Tea Shakespeare. In addition, Jeremy is professor of theater at Fayetteville State University, here in Fayetteville. Jeremy, welcome.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Good. So, Jeremy, we were just listening to our wonderful theme song, Longing for Dear Old Broadway. That goes back to 1913 or something. Cole Porter, one of his first songs. Now, we were humming along and enjoying that. But if you could be transported to Broadway right now, what would you like to be doing?
I want to be playing Javert in Les Miserables on Broadway.
Ah, of course. And well, you would do an excellent job. That's a terrific. I hope someday that can happen for you. Now, Jeremy, this show is going to be all about you and Shakespeare. And, you know, we know that you're a fine director, a fine actor, a producer, so on and on about theater, but we're all wondering how you do with improv. And so
I guess we're going
to
see. Huh?
You were about to find out.
Okay.
Because you see a red box on this table in front of you, don't you?
I do.
In a moment, not yet.
Okay.
You are going to open that box, and you are going to find something in there. It could be anything. It could be a coin showing Shakespeare's profile. It could be anything. You're going to open it, and then you are going to take it out, tell the audience what it is you have in your hand. Then you're going to tell us a story about that.
Okay.
All right. Open the box.
Okay, now. Okay. So, let me make sure I've got it all. There we go. So this is a copy of a script, an edition of a play that I'm not allowed to say, but it's the Scottish play, and I want to be very clear that I have some very bad experiences with this play. I played this part once, as you know, at the Gilbert Theater.
Beautifully.
About a year ago, and that was a great experience, but there is more in my background with this play. When I was in grad school, I tackled this play 3 times. And I was very frivolous with the title of this play. I threw it around.
Yeah, yeah.
And I learned my lesson. So in one of the first productions that I was involved with, I was throwing it around a lot. And my friend, Rob Gibbs, was playing this part. He and I were very close. And in the span of the summer we were rehearsing the play, I was directing. Rob stepped in a hole at a construction site and tore his ankle in stage combat class. I think I might have actually been fighting him in stage combat, but he tore his rotator cuff. And then later, we got through both of those things. We got to the show. We were setting up for the show a few days beforehand, and he was holding 2 pieces of the set together, and I had a drill, and I was about to screw something together, and I just drilled it right through his thumb. So I have a lot of bad experiences with this play.
And you attribute it all to your carelessness in saying the title.
All of us
just try to catch each other when we were doing it at the Gilbert last year. We were having to remind people because of these terrible things could happen. Well, there it is. Anyway, so you did it, and beautiful story. Now, I want you to imagine that you are an old man and you're sitting in a chair perhaps a rocking chair, and your grandchildren are gathered around your knees, perhaps even a great-grandchild. Now, I want you to tell them the sweet tea story.
Okay.
Your children, now keep that in mind.
Okay.
You may
want
to mention... We have a photographer.
Oh, thank
here.
You, James, so much. Yeah, I'm sorry. Ralph, we're so fortunate to have the observer, Jeremy, with us this morning, this evening, don't we? Aren't we?
Sure.
Roger doing a piece of text, and Raoul here taking pictures like crazy.
Yeah,
and,
there's been clicking throughout, so I figured that would.
Well, James does not want to be held responsible for all this clicking, but that's exactly what's going on. But anyway, we're going to ignore Raoul's intrusion into our face as best we can.
He's doing us a favor.
And well, it's a favor, I know that, but I wish he would just do my chocolate side. But we won't go into that. Anyway, so, all right, so you are okay. You're sitting
so
in
kids,
a chair.
Kids, I want to tell you about Sweet Tea Shakespeare. I started Sweet Tea Shakespeare in 2012, which was a long time ago, as an attempt to recreate the best nights that I could remember. And, you know, I could remember maybe a dozen nights in my life to that point that were really memorable. And they have to do with the sun fading, and they have to do with wind in the trees, and they have to do
outdoor theater,
right? Not just outdoor, but great outdoor parties too.
Oh, wow.
And so, Sweet Tea Shakespeare started like that, as in a desire to sort of create for other people these great nights that I had had a dozen or so over 30 years or so, to make that and to share those experiences because I remember them very much and think of them very fondly. That's how we got started.
But Granddad, did you act in the plays too?
Well, I did not until 2015, when I cast myself in my first show at Sweet Tea Shakespeare. And I have to jump out of the grandfather role for a minute just to say that the role is coming up, playing Lopakin in The Cherry Orchard, my first Sweet Tea role. So I'm back in the story now, grandkids. So I played Lopakin in The Cherry Orchard in 2015, and it was a great experience.
But were these shows outside, Granddad?
They're all outside. They are all outside. One of the things that I love about Fayetteville is that it's like going to summer camp. And the pine smell and the beautiful environs are just really inspiring to me. And so I want to get out there as much as I can and do some beautiful language in that environment.
And so are there children in Shakespeare?
Are there children in Shakespeare? Sure. There's some great children's roles. We did, with Sweet Tea Shakespeare, a production called Winter's Tale. It's got a great part for a little kid who dies, unfortunately, but there's a part there. There's a part in the Scottish play. There's a part in
any fairies.
Are fairies? I love fairies.
And that, what play is that?
That's Midsummer Night's
Dream. Oh, Granddad! Now here you are, unable to get out of the rocking chair. But this is
right.
Wonderful to see that you had such. Good, thank you. That was terrific. Now, Jeremy, I have asked you to prepare a monologue.
Yeah, so I've never done this monologue. I've heard it. Several years ago, I played King John in a production of King John, and I heard my friend who his name is Jesse, he was playing Philip the Bastard in King John, and I loved that part ever since we did that play together. And I was thinking through, you know, what should I bring? And I was looking at the calendar, and we happen to be in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week are called in the Anglican tradition are called Rogation Days, and Thursday is Ascension Day, the Feast of the Ascension. And so I, as I was looking at the calendar today, thinking through what I wanted to do, I decided to find a speech about this week, about these Rogation days and this Ascension Day coming up on Thursday. So I have this short piece from Philip the Bastard in King John about Ascension Day. Here we go. Never done this before, so forgive me. How I have sped among the clergymen, the sums I have collected shall express. But as I traveled hither through the land, I find the people strangely fantasied, possessed with rumors, full of idle dreams, not knowing what they fear, but full of fear. And here a prophet that I brought with me, from forth the streets of Pomfret, whom I found, with many hundreds treading on his heels, to whom he sung in rude, harsh-sounding rhymes, that ere the next Ascension Day at noon, your highness should deliver up the crown.
Ooh. So I'm a bit pentameter. How do you approach that in your world, or how do you teach it to your people in Sikhs?
So one of the things I talk about when I get into iambic pentameter is that you want to find the departures from it. So I don't know how many of the listeners will know iambic pentameter, but it's this pulse. Didum, 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 didum. It, to be or not to be, that is the question, that kind of writing pulse. So I talk to actors about how, when that is present, when that pulse is present, your character is speaking from the heart. And when that pulse isn't present, when you're just reading prose, you're speaking from the brain. And so that's one of the first distinctions that I draw, is that speaking from the heart. And if you know you're speaking from the heart, what do you do? What are you talking about? Where is your passion about that moment? And that's where I start the conversation about iambic pentameter. And then we get into some of the technicalities about where it breaks that rhythm, where it breaks that pulse, where it departs. And we talk about why. That's what I do to start.
Beautiful. I think this is the perfect time for me to bring up the book I'm going to share it today. It's Letters from an Actor by William Redfield. Do you by chance know this?
I do a bit, yeah.
This is an English actor that was cast in the Gielgud Burton, Richard Burton Hamlet in 1964. And it's just one of my favorite books about acting. He writes letters to his friend named Bob. But here's something I just have to, even though I was criticized last week for reading from books, I'm going to do it again. Some of the actors were having a break in rehearsal, Gielgud directing and this huge cast, and they're in Toronto, and some of them are saying, we're going to take the weekend and go away and have a little vacation. And they say, isn't that wonderful? And this is what Redfield said. No, it isn't wonderful. Vacations are for salesmen. For the actor or any artist, life itself is a vacation. And one's creative work is a celebration of that conviction. A vacation in the middle of rehearsal. It's insane. I don't need to leave my house. I don't need to really leave this town. I am perfectly happy with the life that we've all of us in the Gilbert and elsewhere, your people have created. I'm in vacation all the time. So my book that I'm recommending, William Redfield, Letters from an Actor, 1964, the Gielgud Richard Burton Hamlet, which ran for a long, long run in Broadway when it reached Broadway. Wonderful, wonderful stuff in this book. Now, what's next? Okay, we come to our game.
A game.
We're going to have a game, right? Right. All right, and James is going to keep track. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read famous Shakespeare lines, Jeremy, and I want you to just like this,
This is gonna be trouble. This is the I do Shakespeare a lot, but this is terrible.
Let me say first of all, if you're very successful, then you get a prize.
I get a prize.
The Oxford Literary Guide to the British Isles. Now I must say that I took this book off my shelf and I said it's the perfect one for our time with Jeremy Phoebe. Then I began looking at it. I said, "Oh my God, are you sure you want to part with it?" I said, "Yes, I do." So that's established right there. I'm going to part with it. But right now, I'm going to start with our 15 quotes, and I want you to come in very fast. A horse, my kingdom for a horse.
Richard III.
A plague on both your houses.
Romeo and Juliet.
Alas, poor York, I knew him, Horatio.
Hamlet.
Better a witty fool than a foolish wit.
I'm going to say as you like it.
No. James is marking that you missed one. Twelfth Night.
Oh, you're right.
By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes.
The Scottish play.
Conscience does make crowds. Conscience does make cowards of us all.
I have to come back to that.
Come back. Get thee to a nunnery.
Emma.
Why wouldn't thou be a breeder of sinners, Hamlet? He can speak French, and therefore is a traitor.
I'm going to say Henry V.
Close. I understand a fury in your words, but not the words.
You got me there.
Othello. Misery acquaints a man with strange bedfellows.
You got me there.
It's his last play.
Oh, that's The Tempest. I'm working on that right now. That's a Stefano line.
All right. Okay, good. Okay. Mislike me not for my complexion.
That's Othello. Is it not? Oh, no. Merchant of Venice?
Now cracks a noble heart. Good night, sweet prince.
That's Hamlet.
And flights of angels sing thee to thy rest, Hamlet. Shall I be plain? I want the bastards dead.
Oh, that's Richard III.
The devil can cite scripture for his purpose.
Oh, that's Merchant.
Merchant of Venice, good. The last one, there is no virtue like necessity.
That's Richard III, too. Huh?
Richard III.
I played that part once. I should be a little faster on that.
Well, James, how well did he do?
Looks like he missed. Oh, well, actually, he was supposed to come back to one.
I think the one I was supposed to come back to is Hamlet.
Oh.
Correct?
Okay. Correct. All right, so he had how many correct?
I should have been marking the ones he had correct.
Oh, James.
I was marking the ones he got wrong.
No, I'm going to have to call your mother. I thought that it was understood how to do this simple 1, 2, 3, 4 slash. Okay, I think you got, my calculation, you got 12 right.
Out of how many?
Out of 15.
Oh, that's better than I thought.
Well, it's very good. But the rules were that you got the prize if you had 13 right.
13, okay.
So,
well, that hardly seems
to be. Oh, here, take it.
Oh, here. Okay, well, thank you.
I'm giving it to you. James insisting.
You broke so easily.
Yes. all right, now I'm going to tell a humorous story.
Okay.
Perhaps not. Okay, best I can. There was a famous English actor named Wilfred Lawson. Right after World War II, he was walking the streets in the theater district in London when he saw an old friend, another actor. They hadn't seen each other since the war began. And they fell into conversation, and Lawson was famous for his acting, but also for his drinking. And he was finding it hard to find work, and getting insured, and so on. But they were soon at a pub drinking some more. And his friend said, "Are there any good shows that you can recommend?" And Lawson said, "Well, there's one that's getting people are saying is very, very good. And let's go see if we can get a ticket." So they soon were sitting in the balcony and sharing a flask, no doubt. The play began, and after a while, Lawson leaned over to his friend and said, something very interesting is going to happen next. And his friend said, well, what's that? He said, I'm supposed to come on in the next scene.
Very good.
All right. I think that I love that story. Now, I have some letters here. We've been getting letters.
Okay.
And some of them I've read. Others James has just handed to me. And two or three of them said the theme seems to be keep your day job, Lynn. Well, this is my day job. Now, I
have... The joys of retirement.
Which, yes, I have friends living in the Philippines and friends around the world, and they've been listening to our first show, and said they love me, they support me, however. And they had some suggestions. Now, here's one that I had not read. Well, same to you, buddy. God. Now, James, there are a couple of you, a couple that are addressed to you. They're asking, what was this thumping last week?
Oh, that was me being very bad at this. I only claim to be better at the recording of a podcast than I
think it's an unfair criticism, and we were all learning last week like crazy. And I see that it's going to be much better this week, and I'm sure I won't have to call your mother about this whole thing.
Now, no more thumping, James.
When did you get my mom's phone number?
I've had it on speed dial for some time.
Sounds dangerous.
Now, the rest of these letters, the rest of these letters, I'm sending to the FBI.
Okay.
Now, we have some birthdays this week of famous theater people. Irving Berlin was born on this day in 1888. Martha Graham in 1894. Now, what we're going to do next is it's called Callboard, and we're going to talk about shows coming up in the region. Now, let me first. Bob and I just saw down in Sanford at the Temple, Hairspray. It was absolutely delightful. There's one more weekend of that, so I would urge you to get in your car and get down there. What else is coming up?
Gilbert is doing book club play. That's coming up in a few weeks. But immediately opening is Cape Fear Regional Theater's production of Avenue Q. That opens this weekend.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see that with all the puppets and all.
Yeah, I saw the national tour of Avenue Q several years ago. And it surprised me. I listened to the soundtrack. It was a piece of theater in which I was honestly surprised, and that happens so rarely these days. It was delightful.
I'm genuinely. I have no idea why more plays aren't done with puppets.
I love puppets.
Yeah.
My master's project, my MFA project, used puppets.
So Sweet G will be doing a Shakespeare puppet soon.
There's a really great. It's on tour now in different spots. I mean, it's popped up in different places. A puppet Hamlet, actually in Germany I don't have any of this.
Probably straight, marionettes.
They did those puppet shows of Hamlet. That was how Germans first experienced Hamlet was as a puppet show.
But surely it was marionettes. No, I can't wait to see that. But speaking of unforgettable experiences, I hope that everybody here saw Streetcar Named Desire. Mm-hmm. Just a superb production, but that's past. Callboard is supposed to be about what's playing now and what's coming up.
Avenue Q.
And Avenue Q at Fayetteville Tech is starting rehearsal tonight for a new play. And I'm embarrassed to say that
the water engine.
Jamie, you're in it. Thank you. You know what it is, and he is missing rehearsal night because he is doing a prior engagement, as we say. And but anyway, so Fayetteville Tech with James Dean and other very familiar actors and directors in our town. So I think that's it for Callboard. So we're going to close now, and I thank you so much, Jeremy, for being part of our
second broadcast.
Absolutely, let's do it again. So this is Lynn Pryor asking James for James to dim the lights. James, sit down. This is metaphorically speaking. just dim the lights and go to black while I urge you all to see a play this week. So until next Thursday, thank you for your company.
Longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round, to be back where the boys all